Backseat Box Office, episode number 31, for the weekend of April 22nd through the 24th, 2011.
Hey, this is Tony.
This is Andrew.
This is Jonathan.
And we are the Backseat Producers, and this is Backseat Box Office. And I'm tweaking my levels because apparently I was loud when I started this.
You are fired up, sir.
I am
ready.
Oh, man. I had a package full of awesome that came to me today. Oh,
true.
Wow. So check out the tweets, my tweets, or you can go to my TwitPic page and see them. My uncle is awesome, and he sent me, because I helped him do some computer stuff, and he's like, ah, you helped me out a lot, so I want to do something for you. He sent me a hand-drawn image that Jimmy Stewart drew of Harvey. He signed it Harvey and Jimmy Stewart. He got me an 8x10 of Bob Kane signed, hand-drawn artwork by Bob Kane of Batman and Robin, separate images of Batman and Robin. The Batman one has some color in it too, both of those signed. It's amazing.
That's pretty badass.
It's freaking hot. All right, so everybody.
Good show. See you guys next week.
It was awesome. This is the That's awesome good. Show for the week. That nothing can top that. The show is over. I take that back. There is one thing that can top that. And so I got a message from Jeff Bailey the other day. So, yeah, I got this message from Jeff, and he's like, hey, I got this thing. It's kind of offbeat. I was wondering if it'd be all right to throw it out there and see what you thought. I'm like, hey, I'm down for anything. Let's give it a shot. What do you got? So he sends me this MP3. And I think it's pretty badass. If you've listened to the results show from last week, you've already heard this, but you guys haven't had a chance to listen at this point, so I wanted to go ahead and play it for you guys also.
Hello, everyone. This is Jeff, and I'm a numbers guy, but I also am into weird numbers, so here is not your usual box office results for the week of April 8th through the 10th. Here are the top five movies that were shown on exactly one screen. At number one, we have Kevin Smith's Red State at $82,395. At number two, we have Evil Bong 3D at $24,775. At three, we have Blank City, $13,989. At number four, we have Le Quattro Volte at $13,678. And at number five, we have American, The Bill Hicks Story at $5,872. So hope you enjoyed, and we'll see you guys later.
Nice.
Is that not awesome? I fully encouraged him to send any of those that he wants from now on.
I approve.
And and by the way, any of you guys who are listening, you are more than welcome to, if you find some weird or interesting statistic, send it our way, especially if you can send it in a voicemail or an MP3 file, which means that we don't have to read it. That is a double win.
And by we, he means
me.
Himself.
Yes.
Yeah.
The collective we. Me.
The royal we.
Hmm.
Are you now king of the internet? Or are you still pimp of the internet?
Still pimp.
Like pimps aren't royalty.
That's true.
That's a good point.
We wear purple. I mean, come on.
I've seen you in your giant purple hat.
I do have that giant purple hat. I have my chalice, which if you would have shown up to the Fear the Con after party, you would have seen my pimp chalice.
I think I saw your Sausage Fest.
You probably did see it at Sausage Fest. Yeah. I was.
Yeah.
I actually did use it to douse Rob.
That's right. I wasn't there when you used that for that, but I was there. I did see you earlier.
Yeah.
But let me say congratulations to us.
for our scores this week?
Holy cow. Well, for everybody, really. I mean, the whole community just kind of rocked it. But
this was a good week.
It was an amazing week. Overall, the overall average score was up, I think, just under 5 points per person.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I like to point out that combined, our three scores, the three host scores combined, we got 73 out of 75.
Yes. That is a record. I don't think we've ever got anywhere close to all perfect before, and that is probably just about as close as we'll get, unless we really do nail it one week. We all copy each other.
That's right. I mean, we'd have to feel so strongly that all three of us have identical lists.
You know, and I would like to say that you might want to thank Tony and I, Andrew, because you very specifically said that you like to be different last week.
That's true.
It is true. I did try.
Changed your, you know, you made sure that your list was different from ours, which matched. And
last week, 4 and 5 were such a crapshoot because everything was within, you know, what, a million of each other. There's like 4 movies all within $1 million of each other last week.
Yeah, yeah, and it was actually there was a change from the estimates to the actuals.
I know
there was 2 shifts in position that changed the scores for a number of people. And it was 4 and 5 changed places, and there were a couple of people that had Your Highness on their pick list, and that the estimates had that in 10th place. It ended in 9th, so it wasn't as bad as it could have been. To be fair, Sergio, Adam's dad, was one of the people who picked. His top 4 were perfect. His number 5 pick was Your Highness.
I didn't realize Sergio was playing.
That's yeah, awesome. he is playing. If you look, he's in second. He's tied for second place because he got a 21.
So, oh, so was last week his first week?
Yes, that was his first week.
Next.
Yeah, and he actually brought a coworker along too. He sent an email, and it was his picks and a coworker's picks. So. Yeah, so we have Anthony and Julie have aged off the list because they haven't given us picks in more than a month. So their names have fallen off the list, but we only had, of the normal people who participate, one person did not, and we had a total of 19 people on the leaderboard. So we had 15 people who were not hosts participating.
Sweet.
So one more new person. Get somebody so we can call in an even 20.
That's your goal.
That's my goal. It's a marginal goal. That goal will continue to creep up as we continue to hit goals. It's a milestone along the way. It's not a goal. It's just a milestone.
Get one more person. Now get 5 more people.
That's right.
Now get 10 more
people. It's like those SEO douchebags on Twitter that are always, oh, I'm going to do something cool if I get 1,000 people following me. And they get 1,000 people following him, and they're like, oh, I'm going to release a blog post. Wow. That's
radical.
Cool. Let's get 5,000 people following me, and I'll do something awesome.
I'll take a picture of myself in a mirror and post it.
Followed these people long enough to know this, because... the instant I see SEO in the Twitter description, like, nope.
No. Normally it comes from retweets that I see those things happening. Either that or people follow me, and so I go to check them out to see if they're worth following, and I see that these are the tweets that they're posting. block, report for spam. I'm that guy. I report everybody for spam.
I do too. Any like random replies I get, hey, you should do this. Like, no.
Report spam. For spam.
Block spam. Block spam.
Well, and for a while, you know, you get the typical porn, Viagra, SEO, you know, all that shady stuff. Back. Well, who doesn't? But now it's weird because, and so like for a while it was like the whatever the hot electronic item was. iPad, iPad 2, iPhone, Droid phones, the Motorola Zoom, you know, whatever the hot item is. That's what they're trying to shill. Now it's like the one I've been seeing lately is, hey, I really liked insert movie name here. And what's weird is then you see the words in their tweet, cut and paste, and then there's a URL, but the URL is not a link. So they're assuming that you're going to actually take the effort to cut and paste their their spam URL into your browser to follow it. It's like, that is bold. That is really bold.
It's lazy.
Yeah.
they only want to appeal to the go-getter, gullible people out there.
The people that are going to work for it.
That's a great idea.
Hey, if you work for it, you're going to go that extra step and actually buy our crap product that is nothing, and you will get raped out of your money.
Well, let's look at how everything actually shook out last weekend. Rio debuted number one with 39 million. At number two, we had Scream 4 opening with 18 million. Hop dropped to number three with 10 million. Hannah, number four with 7.282 million, which was closely followed by Soul Surfer at number five with 7.268. That's right. That's a $14,000 difference between four and five.
Unbelievable.
A couple other movies people might be interested in, might have picked. At number six, we had Arthur. At number nine, as Tony mentioned, we had Your Highness. The Conspirator, which we talked about briefly last week, opened at number 11 with 3.5 million. And I think we talked about Atlas Shrugged a little bit last weekend. It debuted at number 14 with 1.6 million in 299 theaters.
Yeah. One of the interesting things I saw was The Conspirator. Box Office Mojo rated it as the most overestimated movie of the weekend. because they actually had estimated the totals at 3.9 million. So it was in ninth place on the estimates for Sunday, unlike the Sunday estimates. It was in ninth, and Your Highness was in 10th. So they estimated 3.9. It only made 3.5 for the weekend. So it ended up dropping to 11th.
Yeah, but it was making about $5,000 per theater. That's not a bad per theater total.
It's really not. What's funny is that when we talked about it last week, it was like, oh, yeah, that movie will be lucky to make the top 10. And then I saw the estimates, and it was in ninth, and I was like, wow, that's impressive. And then, sure enough, it was not lucky. It did not make it into the top 10.
Just for the fun of it, you know what movie is in the top 10?
Is?
Your favorite.
Yep, Limitless.
Oh. I was trying to figure out where you're going with that. Just shut your mouth.
I just wanted to poke at you. You know, we can't let that meme die, so...
Don't bring up that. Words hurt, dude. Words hurt.
I know. That's why I use them the way I do.
So, you know, as we mentioned,
if memory serves, wasn't the Friday estimates? Didn't the Friday estimates have like Insidious in number three? Or something ridiculous like that?
Oh, you mean just Friday by itself?
Just Friday by itself.
Oh, Friday was insane.
It was weird. Yeah. I think it had like Insidious at number three. It ended the weekend at seven. So when I saw that, it was like, what the hell is going on? What? My brain is broken. I don't understand why these numbers are what they are.
It kind of makes sense because, you know, it's a Friday night.
Right.
That's when you go. That's when you go see the scary movie.
Sure.
Late Friday.
Yeah.
The rest of these are all family friendly movies by and large. So.
Right.
Except
right.
For Scream 4, but Scream 4 was going to be up at the top anyway.
Right.
But it didn't make as much as they expected. They actually expected more out of it.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't do horribly. It'll make its money back.
Oh, yeah.
It's not going to be the blockbuster hit I think they expected it to be.
The first, like, five people that went to see that movie made the movie's money back. I mean, we sold 10 tickets. Yes, we're profitable.
No, I was talking about Scream 4, actually.
Oh, I'm sorry, Insidious. I was talking about Insidious.
No, yeah, Insidious is really like, we got one theater.
Yes! Score!
We're in the black.
Yeah.
So, I think as we mentioned, I nailed 1 through 5 perfectly. 25 out of 25. Tony, how'd you do?
I had 1 through 4 perfect. I picked Arthur for number 5, and it ended at number 6. And so that gives me a 24. Which is, I mean, that's... What are the odds that it was 24 and not 23 because the swap of fourth and fifth place? Because that would have been what you would have ended up with, Andrew.
had, I would end up with had, 23.
Had the estimate had stood. Stopped. Yeah.
Yeah, it was one of those things I kept refreshing my phone. So I noticed it on Sunday. I was like, oh, that's too close to really. it could change easily. It's so close, it could change. They could switch. And so yeah. All Monday afternoon, I keep glancing at my phone, refreshing Box Office Mojo, and it was a late day. They released late
this morning. It was. It was like almost 4:30, I think. It was late. And I had actually worked up all the scores based on the estimates already.
The worst thing was that on the front page it had the actuals for the top three.
No, it had it the like, actuals.
Yay!
But if you
click through and it was estimates.
It was,
no!
Yeah, if you click through and if you actually click through to the dailies, the only actual they really had was the number one. Mm. Because number two, Scream 4, is actually less than what it was when that actual was up there. Because it had it like 19.2 million or something like that. So it actually came way down when the actuals came in. So the only actuals they had, when they kept saying on the front page that it was actuals, was number one and I think like Insidious. What?
Well, for what it's worth, Tony last week copied off of my list. We ended up with the same scores because I guess I didn't take into account that Soul Surfer had legs. Missing an arm, but the movie had legs.
Speaking of which, that's fine, because what Tim said was far worse. He sent a voicemail just to complain about Soul Surfer. Not to give picks. He actually sent two voicemails. One, first, to complain about Soul Surfer. And then a little while later, he called in again and gave his picks.
After he it's calmed like, down.
Freaking Soul Surfer, if you want to do something impressive, clap. Oh, man. Wow, Tim. Really?
Tim's fantastic.
Tim is awesome. That's great. I thought it was hilarious.
Him playing has only elevated the field. It's he's hysterical.
Yep.
Yeah, so well done. But we have a quandary ahead of us for this coming week.
Oh, do we?
Well, we should mention something else. Didn't we this week have our first non-host perfect score?
We did. That's right.
That's true. Art.
We should call that out.
Yep, Art got a 25 this week. We had somebody else. I think we had another person or maybe two people had 24. So they did it the same way Jonathan and I did. So, yeah, it was... Everyone did extremely well this week.
Almost, I figured that was an achievement worth mentioning.
Yes, that is fantastic. Sorry, and Art is currently in first place. He's only given us two or three picks. So, is you know, any picks that are, you know, like a 25 really elevate his score really well. So he is currently in first place.
Well, and I'm sorry I missed Art at Fear of the Con as well. I was listening to the results show and didn't realize he was there. So maybe next year. Or maybe at Archon.
Yeah, yeah. We'll have to see about getting him to Archon.
Now you can make a transition.
Yeah. Are we ready to talk about what wonderful films are coming out this weekend?
Oh.
Quandary, Thy Name is Tyler Perry.
You know what? I don't think that's really the quandary.
What is it, African Cats?
Yeah, hey, so
it is, isn't it?
Hey, if Soul Surfer's got two legs, African Cats have at least four.
That's true.
It's very true.
What's funny is it's like I all week I remembered there are three crappy movies coming out this weekend. Three movies that are going to make picks difficult. I shouldn't say crappy movies. Three movies are coming out this weekend that are going to make picks difficult. Let's see. There's the Tyler Perry movie, the African Cats movie, and I just kept blanking all week. I could never remember what the other movie was, which just goes to show just how well marketed it is.
Well, see, it's really easy for me to remember because here where I live in Colombia, once a year we have what's called the one read, and you know the whole idea is that the whole town, the whole city reads this one book every year.
Oh.
So about two years ago, it was Water for Elephants. So everywhere you went in Colombia, people were reading it. It was on every bookshelf. Everyone was talking about it. Oh, my God, I couldn't take it. So that freaking book, that title is emblazoned in my skull.
Mm.
So are you saying you didn't participate?
No, I read it. I mean, you don't have to, I guess. But, you know, everybody's talking about it. So, no, my wife bought a copy. She read it. I read it. It's not my type of story, but it's a lot of people around here really liked it.
Well, and the problem with that one is, I mean, it's Sparkly Vampire Dude.
Well, yeah, your problem is you don't like the actor who's in it.
My problem? I don't think I'm the only one that doesn't care for Robert Pattinson.
You know what, though?
You're not. But
I've seen Robert Pattinson.
I'm speaking to you, so.
To be fair,
you're here to talk.
You know what? You know what? I will defend Robert Pattinson as an actor. Maybe not his choice of films, but as an actor. I think he does well as an actor in the things I've seen him in.
I have no experience with him. I hate Twilight. I have actually no experience with that either. I just hate the culture surrounding Twilight because I have experience with that.
So. I have experience with the films. I actually went to the theater and saw the third one. Julie was having a bad week, so I went. I agreed. And I distinctly remember walking out of the film, and the first thing I said to her was, "I need tits and explosions now." "I need a testosterone infusion." "I need a good 80s action movie where there is nudity, where they go into a strip club at some point, and like the strippers are realistic because they're kind of nasty looking. They're not like the hot strippers."
Sounds like you need RoboCop.
Actually, I was kind of thinking of Beverly Hills Cop.
That works too.
Yes. Yes, it does.
Not as many as explosions.
Not as many explosions, but you get the funny, which...
Oh, I don't know. I think RoboCop's
RoboCop's pretty funny too, yeah. It's a different kind of funny.
That's true.
So should we talk about these movies?
If we must.
Can we just give the titles and move on?
All right. So African Cats, Samuel L. Jackson tells us about really big kitties. It's Lolcats, narrated by Samuel L. Jackson.
I really just want to hear Samuel L. say something about, "Somebody get these cats out of this plane."
Yes.
So could they not get... that would have worked a lot better if I had remembered the actor's name.
Yep.
Yeah, that felt, because I was about to say it.
James Earl Jones?
Lawrence Fishburne, and I was like, that is not the right guy. He doesn't have enough spots on his face.
Forrest Whitaker.
No.
Spots on his face.
No, not Forrest Whitaker either.
Are you talking about the guy?
James Earl Jones?
No.
Is he African American?
No, from. Shoot, now I've lost the name of the movie. Shawshank Redemption.
Morgan Freeman?
Yeah, Morgan Freeman.
Wait a minute, I just asked you if he's African-American, and you said no. To be fair, Morgan Freeman is divine, so...
Yeah.
He's not actually African-American. He is descended from heaven to walk among men.
Didn't Morgan Freeman do the narration on the Penguin movie?
Yeah, that was the relation that I was trying to make. Is Samuel L. Jackson trying to be Morgan Freeman now? Because
it was a long walk, but you made that connection.
Yeah, I mean, it took a little while. Possibly, it was actually more entertaining for not having to live with Bob Wright.
Yeah, so that's African Cat. So let me tell you a little about Water for Elements. It's based on the novel by Sarah Gruen. It's about a 90-year-old man who looks back on his life's adventure during the Depression era, when he joined the circus, met a woman he loved, and the elephant that was the star attraction. As we mentioned, it stars Robert Pattinson from the Twilight franchise, I guess most famously. It's directed by Francis Lawrence. Also has Reese Witherspoon and Christopher Waltz in it.
Yeah.
There you go.
The nice thing is there are certain movies where I make my stand and say, I don't want to see that. And then I get like, oh, you won't go see that with me? This movie I have no fear, because Julie refers to this as the stupid elephant movie. So, win. I don't have to waste one of my fights on this movie.
Nice. Well, Tyler Perry's Madea's Big Happy Family. Tyler Perry dresses up in drag and hygiene.
Again.
Again. I actually have no idea what this movie is about. I just made that up based on...
No, that's about right.
That sounds pretty accurate.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing, this is the... we've kind of talked about this in other places, but this will be his 11th film written and directed by Perry for Lionsgate.
Wow.
11th.
Well, he's pulling in the cash. I mean...
Okay, this is episode number 31. This will be the third Tyler Perry movie on... within picks that we've done for the podcast.
Yeah, he averages one every 10 weeks.
Amazing. Well, it really is.
And two of them he wrote and directed. Two of them written and directed by him.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know if I've... I know I've referenced this on Way of the Game, but I don't know if I've done it here. That I used to work for Walmart in the electronics department, and like I'd set the video game cases and the movie case. Release rats. Seemed like every couple months I was putting out a Tyler Perry DVD.
Because you were.
The dude, like, what he does is he writes a play, then he films the play, releases that on DVD, and then converts the play over to a movie, and like releases the movie on the big screen. So he's got a system. This man is like...
He's doing it right.
...forward of black comedies.
He is doing it right. He really is. He is making money. He's got he's got a machine behind him. He is his own like old style Hollywood studio. Mm-hmm. Like he's got this stable of actors. He writes, he directs, he's one of the stars in almost every one of his films. I mean, he's living the dream.
Yeah.
He really...
I don't hold it against
him. No. I think it's impressive. I mean,
dude is prolific.
He is a model to watch. He is doing it the right way.
He's a blue chip in the Hollywood scene, I would think. You know, he's not the flashy, he's not the Michael Jordan, but he just continually produces and makes money.
Yeah. Lionsgate's like, "Hey, Tyler, you want to make another movie this month? Please?" You are, you know, we budget for you. We have margins based on you. Because of what you do, we can make two or three other pictures that can fail or not.
Well, and, you know, a funny thing is based on Box Office Mojo, Lionsgate, you know, it has a list. You can click on the studio and it'll tell you their top 10 highest grossing, domestic grossing movies.
Mm-hmm.
Number 3 is Tyler Perry's Madea Goes to Jail. Number 7 is Tyler Perry's Madea's Family Reunion. Number 8 is Tyler Perry's Why Did I Get Married 2.
That's... Yeah. They're solid. You can count on his movies making their money back while they're still in theater. Then he has a great secondary market that follows him.
Yep.
Yeah. That's awesome. Good for him.
To give you an idea of what else is around, all the Tyler Perry movies from Lionsgate, number 1 was Fahrenheit 9/11. Number 2 is The Expendables. 4, 5, and 6 are Saw's 2, 3, and 4.
Wow.
9 is Saw 5. And 10 is The Haunting in Connecticut.
Jeez.
You know, I just found Tyler Perry's director page on Box Office Mojo. He's made nearly $500 million for Lionsgate.
Wow.
Averages $52 million per film and $23-24 million average on opening weekends.
So I think I know what I'm picking for number 1 this week.
Well, you know, why don't we just jump into that? I'm going first this week. I think.
Go for it.
Because this segues into kind of what I wanted to talk about up front was I was thinking about where was Madea going to be this week. I had actually seen Uriah earlier today, and we were talking a little bit about Madea. And so I clicked in. I did a little research. Tyler Perry's last 3 movies that he did, I'm not counting 4 Colored Girls because that was a little different. That's right. A bit outside of what he usually does.
It's not a comedy. He didn't write. I mean,
he didn't star in it.
Did he adapt it?
I don't know who adapted it.
Okay. But it's not his. It's not an original story of his.
It is not his usual genre.
Right.
So Tyler Perry's Medea Goes to Jail was released in 2009, about 2 years ago, and its opening weekend brought in $41 million in 2,000 theaters.
Wow.
Tyler Perry's I Can Do Bad All By Myself released September 11th, 2009. It opened in 2,255 theaters, brought in $23.4 million. And then most recently, Tyler Perry's Why Did I Get Married 2 opened in 21,000 theaters for $29.2 million.
That's impressive. That really is impressive.
Yeah, it's... He, like I said, he's a blue chip. He just produces.
Yep.
Regularly and well. So then I looked at Rio. Rio, $40 million, basically. I mean, 39.
Right.
Whatever, from last week. And so I was kind of staring at that like, well, let's say it drops a third. That brings Rio down to about $26 million, which is right around where, you know, as Jonathan said, his opening weekend average is right around that mid $20 million range. But then the last Madea film opened at $40 million.
Yeah.
So that was kind of my thing. I feel very confident that Rio and Tyler Perry's new movie will be one and two. I'm not sure what order to put them in. So I debated it, you know, and I internally monologued it some. Walked around a lot, drank some coffee.
There was a montage.
It was an 80s montage. And then finally, I decided, what the heck? Let's just be crazy. I put Madea at number one. I put Rio at number two. I put Water for Elephants at number three, based mainly on the number of theaters and what HSX has it currently rated at.
Mm-hmm.
I threw Scream 4 at number four, and then put Hop at number five. That seemed to be a no-brainer.
Hey, you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and jump in and say I just wrote down exactly the same thing. I wrote it down like before you had before when you were still like, yeah, Madea and Rio, I'm in the middle, and I had already written down Madea, Rio, Water, Scream, Hop.
So I'd like to say now to Mentally out there, if she's listening, I understand your pain with your dad. I understand exactly what you were saying on that comment, because look what just happened right there. Look what happened right there.
Yeah, except you're playing the part of the dad.
Either way,
and mentally is rocking the house. She's still in second, I think,
and she's about to lose her asterisk, I believe.
She's getting close. They're both of them are getting close.
Anyway, those were my picks. I guess we know Tony's picks. You want to add anything to my analysis there, sir?
Not really. I mean, for me, the biggest question was Madea versus Rio. Rio hit $40 million last week, which, sad to say, that was the biggest animated opening of the year so far. But there's only been a couple of animated movies, and they're all at like 37, 38, 39 million. So they're all really close. But Rio is in first of those three. Even if it drops, you know, 60%. It'll be below 20 million, but there's no way that anything's going to come close to that number except for Madea. And I have to think that if kids have the opportunity to see a movie, and the only animated movies that are out are a couple of weeks old, the only new family friendly movie that's out this week is the African Cats movie, which is, I mean, it's on 1,200 screens, but a lot of those screens are like your IMAX screens. They're more of the novelty kind of screens that are showing that one.
Ticket price screen.
Yeah, and I don't know that necessarily a lot of kids are going to say, hey, yeah, let's go see that this weekend. I think on Easter weekend, you're probably going to get more of them maybe wanting to go see a Hop.
Yeah,
I don't think it's going to give Hop enough of a boost to really move up in the rankings at all. But I think it's going to be enough to keep it in a solid fifth, and it's going to be enough to help drag down Rio a little bit. Like, Rio might lose some of the audience to Hop for this weekend only because it is Easter weekend. And because Hop is, and it's an Easter movie. It's about the Easter Bunny, for God's sakes. I mean, it's like betting against Santa Claus on Christmas. Are you serious? Who does that? Jerks. Jerk faces do that. I don't even think atheists bet against Santa on Christmas. I mean,
no, you can't say jerk faces.
I can say jerk face.
That disservices jerk faces ever, because I don't think even they would do that.
I don't know. You've met Adam, right?
Has he ever bet against Santa at Christmas?
Probably not. No.
See what I'm saying?
That's true.
Point.
That's true. So even jerk faces wouldn't do it.
That's right.
That's fair.
So I think that brings us to Jonathan.
Jonathan, what do you got?
Well, since Andrew's playing my role this week and you, Tony, are playing your own role this week, I will take Andrew's spot from last week and switch things around a little bit. I'm not real certain about this because it could turn out bad. But I'm going to go with Madea, and I'm going to put Water for Elephants at number two.
Ooh. That's an interesting pick.
I'm not real happy with it.
It could happen.
But, yeah, you know, it's like there's between the people, the Twilight fans that love Robert Pattinson and the buzz that Waterfall. I mean, I never really knew what it was, but I have heard this title, Water for Elephants, for a while now.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it could tap into, with Tyler Perry tapping into his audience, this one could be tapping into the, you know, romantic.
The Twihards.
Yeah. Well, and also, like, just the women that want to go see it, you know?
The book clubs of America. Yeah. I can see it. Because I bet this movie does fantastic here in town. I bet this movie does extremely well this weekend here in our town.
Yeah.
Right.
And then, I mean,
it's a period romance, too. It's got a built... There is a certain built-in audience for period romances.
Yeah, and I really should have looked this up, but I'm thinking, like, I seem to remember The Notebook doing really well.
Unfortunately.
I could be completely wrong. But, you know, if it taps into that same sort of niche, it could do really well. So I'm going to put that at number two. Rio, Scream 4, and Hop make my last 3, 4, and 5. Because, I mean, there you go. I think that I tend to agree with you guys. Actually, I don't agree with you guys because you don't think that anything is going to come close to Rio. So never mind. What I'm going to say is I think that Water for Elephants at Rio could be really close.
Yeah. I think I would agree with that.
I'm looking at Rio at... I think the lowest Rio is going to get is probably in the 18 million range. And I think the best Water for Elephants can do... And this is kind of like on the outside. I think a wild hair day, like the Red Hat Society all decide they're all going to see the movie this weekend is and it's going to get to 16 million. I know that might be sexist and ageist all at the same time.
I'm willing to own that though. I could see Water for Elephants hitting 20 million this weekend.
I think 20 million is a stretch. I think 20 is a stretch. I think 16 is probably closer.
With any luck, next week we will also... With any luck, next week we'll score 73 again because... No, that can't work if those two flop, won't it?
We could hit a 73.
Actually, yeah. We could hit a 73 again because Andrew and I could be perfect and yeah. you would flip-flop, so you would have a 23. So, yeah,
I'm
we could hit 73.
That doesn't happen.
Right.
And instead, you two flip-flop and put it at 71.
Yeah, you're hoping for a 71.
I did the math right.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
Yes! You go.
And there opens one of the seals.
For a minute, I thought I heard a bang. I thought Jonathan, like, flipped his chair over, was walking out the door, just like, done! What now?
Look, math! Bam!
Math
what can, now, son?
Math can suck it.
That is entirely what...
I'm just picturing you standing up in front of your mic with your chair flipped over behind you. Yelling at your mic.
Pounding himself in his chest with his massive hands. I'm King Kong up in here!
Your mic is so sensitive that you catch it from...
Hey, did you like that tweet I posted a couple weeks ago of your of the audio track? I titled it, "Look, Jonathan and his giant hands are laughing."
Yes, I had a response.
Oh, it was great. I loved it. I'm not actually laughing. My hands are just vibrating there.
My wow. hands just physically move the waveform.
Wow. I love that. I think that's the biggest response I've gotten from a tweet in a long time, because there was... probably 10 people who replied back to that.
Oh yeah, no, I haven't. I'm not kidding when I say that my hands are... This has come up in a few places. My hands are more famous than I am.
This is true.
We have never disagreed with you.
Minecraft. I started playing Minecraft with Luke, and he decided that we needed, because we're playing with him and me and Rob from the Accidental Survivors, and David just joined us, and there are a bunch of other people from the Spooky Outhouse forums that are going to join us. And he decided that we needed a name, so he called it The Hand Brotherhood. I told him I was glad that I gave him so much inspiration.
And then didn't you make a giant hand as part of that?
Yeah, he commissioned a giant hand statue from someone else, and it was kind of crappy. So I was like, look, if we're going to do it, we're going to do it right. I based it on my own hand, and I mean, it's up the whole top of the hill. But
well, it's probably the one you built is probably slightly smaller than your real one, because it's just infeasible to build something that big on Minecraft. I know you can build big things, but
yeah, I mean, there is an upper limit, and I'm not willing to take the time to dig out the ground all underneath in order to make everything fit properly.
Yeah, because wouldn't that throw off the mass of the of that world, of that virtual world, send it spinning off into the sun?
It would be the first time Jonathan's giant hands would destroy the world.
Oddly enough, I just got an idea for another hand statue while we were...
I can't imagine. I cannot imagine be a gesture. Sign language.
The one is a hand like upheld, like palm up, you know, fingers towards the, I don't know, like something that could sit on it.
Right.
I just got an idea for another one that's like gripping the top of a mountain.
Nice. Nice.
I might have to do that over our main mine or something. But.
See, after all the razzing we were giving you, I figure you were referring to a hand flipping the bird.
That would also be good.
We're number one.
I thought of that too.
You could do a series of them that says "Welcome to the Brotherhood of the of the Hand Brotherhood" in ASL.
I do not have that much space.
Oh, come on.
There are also left to right limits on the world.
Oh well,
they're very large, but not large enough for that.
Well, I just want to say I'm excited about the next couple weeks. Next weekend, Fast Five comes out. The weekend after that, Thor debuts.
They just announced that it's going to be in IMAX 3D.
Oh, yeah.
Which should be interesting, because Fast Five is coming out in IMAX 3D the week before. So that means it's going to get bumped.
We're getting into summer movies. I am excited.
It's starting to ramp up. Have you seen some of the early reviews on Thor?
You know, I'm trying to avoid them, actually.
I have not seen a negative review yet.
That is fantastic.
And I've seen 5 or 6 reviews. I have not seen a negative one yet.
Honestly, I'm not that surprised. I mean, I have yet to see a bad Kenneth Branagh movie, and I have a hard time believing that Kenneth Branagh would take on a picture that he didn't think he could turn into something decent.
So. Right. Yeah, I completely agree.
There are a lot of people that are like, oh, this is the sign that Kenneth Branagh has lost the touch. It's like, why isn't this the sign that Kenneth Branagh is making a good movie?
Yeah, exactly. he's finally making a mainstream movie. So what? Yeah. So what if it's a superhero movie? He's just doing something that people will actually go see.
And it's time to get paid at the same time.
Exactly. Yeah. Why not? Why not cash a paycheck? Come on.
Heaven forbid.
I mean, look at the stuff Gwyneth Paltrow's,
like, you know, 5-hour epic Beth film.
Yeah. I mean, look at some of the stuff Gwyneth Paltrow's done lately. I mean, she kind of got this reputation for being kind of snobbish and stuck up, and it was like this weird reputation that kind of came out after Shakespeare in Love, and now she's like Pepper Potts in the Iron Man movies, and I think it's cool. She's just completely creating a new image for herself. And it's like, look, I am not that person that everybody thought I was, even though I might have actually been that person at that time. I'm reinventing myself. I'm on Glee. I'm in Iron Man.
Hey, Kenneth Branagh didn't do that Tempest remake that came out this past fall, winter,
no,
did he?
No, that was Julie Taymor.
Okay. Oh, that's
ooh.
Right.
Yeah.
Who did a really funky version of the one about the guy who cuts off his hands to save his kids and then feeds the main bad guy's kids to her?
Titus?
Yeah, Titus Andronicus.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
She did a funky-ass version of
that. Yeah, she did.
And,
she's kind of hit and miss because she also did the Broadway production of My Life. Where they took all the Billy Joel songs and then they like set them to interpretive dance, which it's like,
well,
I'm a huge Billy Joel fan. So
I'm also involved in Spider-Man Take Out the Night or whatever.
She is.
Yeah. The Broadway killer play.
Right.
The Black Hole.
So yeah, it's not necessary. I hit or miss is definitely correct.
Yeah. I was going to say, what's weird is I'm a huge Billy Joel fan. Have been since I was very young. And when, they're doing the stage thing, I'm like, oh, this, I want to go see it. Because, I'm not going to go pay $200 to sit in nosebleed seats to see him and Elton John. Because I'm not as big an Elton John fan. So it's like, I don't need that. Plus, I already saw him in concert like 7 times before. Like, back when he was still making new music. Mm-hmm. So, to see this, it was going to be something different. I thought it was going to be kind of cool. And so we're sitting there getting ready, and I knew very little about the production. And I'm looking through the libretto, and it's... Yeah, and this person here is the choreographer, and it's all done with interpretive dance. And I'm like, wait, what? What am I in for? I don't know if I'm down for this, but we've already paid for the tickets, and my ass is in the seat. So I guess we're gonna stick around and watch this. I was very pleasantly surprised. I think if it was done more just a straight like rock performance, it would have been what I expected, and it would have been satisfying, and that it was what I expected. What I got was something I did not expect, and it was good. So I was thrilled because it was like it went well beyond my expectations.
Well, when people talk about people like her who are hit or miss, to me, that just says that they're going out there and they're trying new, different, daring, bold things. And sometimes, when you swing for the fences, sometimes you're going to strike out. Yep. Sometimes you're going to knock it out. And there's not a whole lot of middle ground.
Right, right. I mean, home run hitters don't always have the best batting averages.
That's right.
I mean, if you're going to continue that baseball analogy, they'll have the most home runs, but that's because they're pretty much just closing their eyes and swinging. And when they connect, that ball is gone.
That's right.
The key to this is
or knock it out.
Yeah, the key is when they connect.
Yeah.
Well, let me bring this back around to the movies that are coming out.
Oh, what the hell are you doing that for?
Because I just found quote says that Water for Elephants is the most anticipated movie of the season.
What?
Yes.
What season?
Yes.
What season?
Source that quote.
Live with that.
Source that quote.
Live with that quote. Most anticipated. Sit there and think about that. because I don't want to tell you if it's from a site called News Tabulous.
No. It's from Rob Pat Blog, iHeartRobPatBlog.com.
It might be because actually at the end of the article, there's a one line that says, "Don't be too jealous of Reese Witherspoon, who is lucky to have two handsome actors by her side in Waterfield."
The time you spent finding that quote was rough spit, sir. That was rough spit.
Wow.
I had the search page open from earlier when I was trying to figure this stuff out, and then I noticed that on the like news thing of like, most anticipated movie of the I would think that really Robert Pattinson is more lucky to have Reese Witherspoon working with him. I mean, there's an actual
maybe.
Anyway. I have GLaDOS calling to me, so
bite me.
Hey, you could go get it.
I could have it right now.
Go play your Portal 2. I was kind of sick of your co-host over the weekend, all weekend. Mollerheim's playing Portal 2. Mollerheim has unlocked 10 achievements on Portal 2.
What I want to know is, he was playing it that long, but Chibi had it less than 24 hours, and he's already done with it.
Well, the main story isn't... I've heard it's around 6 to 8 hours.
Oh, okay.
But then there's also a full co-op campaign. And then there's the, like, going through and doing challenges, and there are challenge rooms. And so there's plenty still to do in
it.
You beat the main story, so...
Yeah.
But I think I'm, like, 2 hours from the end, so I'm done. I want to go play. This is another reason why I should have just thrown off the headphones earlier.
Well, go enjoy kicking GLaDOS's ass. I understand there is a Jonathan Colton song awaiting you at the end.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
Nice.
Hope so.
All right.
See you guys next week.
See ya.
See ya.
Bye.